Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
What do you hate? Where?
I said I hate it here in the genreverse.
What? How are you gonna start it off that? How are you gonna start it off that way, man? This is like the genreverse show. I mean, technically, like, what drives it is the anime, but this is the genreverse, man.
Yeah, the coffee sucks here.
Okay. I don't drink coffee, so I don't know what to stock. That's, you know what, take it up with HR.
I did, and they just keep making it worse.
Oh my god, you. Welcome everybody to the Daily Cup of Genre here on the Genreverse, the great Genreverse YouTube channel and Genreverse Podcast Network, wherever you get podcasts from, like Amazon or Spotify and others. I'm Kyle, that's Manny. Be sure to check out the parent website, the big head honcho place that kind of started it all, LRMonline.com. We actually used to have all of these shows that you see on this channel. Subscribe if you haven't. Over on the LRM online channel, and there's still some back catalog over there for Daily Cog, sure. Or LR Mornings. No, Daily Cog was over there for a bit too, but LR Mornings was what this used to be called before Genreverse started, and then Marvel Multiverse, Mayhem, the Cantina, even the first year of anime versal reviews are all over there. So give them a subscription, because not only is the back catalog there, but new celebrity interviews basically almost every day, give or take. Why not cat? You put a hole in this and I will ban you from the lap at least while we're at the computer. The Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania trailer. That's where I wanted to start at. Holy crap. First, ESPN, ABC, and Marvel and Disney, screw you guys for having us have to wait so damn
Jesus
long.
Jesus Christ,
for it.
Yeah. I have this theory that they were going to run it at halftime.
But the game was just
so... And then
so...
they were like, hey, listen.
Yeah.
A lot of people are waiting for this trailer. And this game got out of hand.
Yeah,
you need to push it back to the fourth quarter.
I think that's a valid and logical conspiracy theory. Just like the Mandalorian trailer that was going to drop during a that's it, Kat, you're gone.
All I'm saying, if I was producing that show, I would have done that too.
Yeah. No. Absolutely. You know that same Mando trailer that was supposed to hit. I think that was a last minute choice by Star Wars and our Lucasfilm and Disney as well. Anyways. Trailer hits. I watched it late last night. I got really nauseous after working all day. Didn't get to do a reaction, but I caught it. Watched it, and I know you had some feelings on it, but I'm kind of opposite from you for the most part. I'm still cautiously optimistic. This was a different type of trailer, more like a Kang trailer,
yeah,
almost
than an
Ant-Man trailer. So it was darker, more broody, and they're trying not to, of course, give away the gist, you know, the whole thing, even though, you know, Kang is the whole thing. So it's a little bit more what's the word I'm looking for? I don't want to say opaque, but it's not as informative as other trailers we get from Ant-Man or other Marvel films. I am starting to get concerned about the CGI, and it's not just MODOK, but we can definitely mention MODOK when you can see the face, not the armor. I wish it was in armor all the time now. But even some of the stuff with Kang himself, the surroundings, it's like, yeah, you guys got to use the volume, which is going to make it better, but holy crap, man. Marvel, you guys have really lacked on a lot of the CGI through phase four, and I know there's all sorts of pandemic related things to that, as well as money related things to that, but holy crap, do you guys have yourselves set up for potential failure with poor CGI? And look, Marvel's not the only place where I'm getting on to this. There's, if you guys watch our anime, we did our Nier Automata reaction and review here on the channel. They've got some issues with their CGI that we just ripped into. So it's not like a Marvel only thing. But overall, I'm still relatively optimistic, but I am concerned with the CGI. And yeah, that MODOK stuff was some bullshit, Marvel. What do you got, Manny? What do you think? What'd you think about it?
What was wrong with MODOK?
Dude, so when you can see the human head inside, yeah. Mm-hmm. the CGI is atrocious looking. Like, dude, it's bad.
I'm looking at a picture of it right now, of a still from it. Like, it's like like it's MODOK. It's like a dude with his face stretched out. Like, I'm not, like, as far as that, okay, it does look like something out of Spy Kids 3D, I'll tell you that.
That's what I'm saying, is the quality of it. I'm not talking like, yeah, you need a big giant okay. head. Zordon's a big giant head, and
that's a regular. But they don't stretch it out though.
They don't stretch it out as much. But it's how cartoony it looks. Yeah. And then if you go watch, people already did this comparisons to the Avengers video game. Mm-hmm. It's like that looks better. You could still tell it's a video game, but it looks better. And before anyone jumps in and be like, well, they still got time to fix it, when have they really fixed
not
much?
Really they fixed
She-Hulk by adding some additional cycles to the render, some additional what's the word I'm looking for, I can't remember, but you know, some additional times through the rendering machine, but they didn't really fix that much. And Spider-Man Homecoming was a long time ago. I think that might be what we get. Anyways, you're talking now.
Also, so the glaring one besides MODOK in my book, when Kang shoots those beams, his face, yes. like his face does something really weird. I thought it was just me, but
I think that's something with how they animated the eyes, like opening and the energy.
Yeah,
and
there's something weird that they do, that when they transition from when he has his mask on to when he has it off, that like it makes his head a little disproportionate. I don't know. It's just
I think it's meant to. I think the blue is meant to be like a lens, kind of like it was.
I get that, like the transition from it's
a bit rough.
Yeah. But and the thing is, I don't expect them to fix it because they didn't fix Namor when he was on his throne.
Yeah,
one of the most important scenes. Oh, look, somebody already did it. Thank you. I'll just send this over to you. Hold on, I'll give you a second. Anyway,
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
A new year, time for new growth. Grow your education and skills with Herzing University. Our online behavioral health programs fit your schedule and time. From an 8-month diploma program in health and human services to a 36-month bachelor's in psychology. Grow your behavioral health career with us wherever you are in your education. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Visit us online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109. Online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109.
So here's the problem with this. It's like, it's Kang versus Ant-Man. There's nothing impressive about one of the most strongest beings in the Marvel universe taking on Ant-Man and him beating him up.
Ant-Man's resourceful. Scott Lang is.
Hold on a second. You're talking to somebody who loves Ant-Man.
Okay.
So, but, and then I think my biggest issue is that, this trailer really just summarized the entire movie. from where we find Scott Lang in the beginning to discovering the quantum verse or going into it for whatever reason, to meeting with Kang, to the proposal, to the betrayal, and then to needing to defeat Kang, or at least not letting him win. I was like, why would you tell me the entire summary of the movie? Is there probably one or two other things I'm leaving out? Of course. But overall, it's like, you didn't need to do that.
Well, I mean, to be fair, that was in the official synopsis when it was released. This is, and without even going into the leaks, like, everyone's already known that there was going to be, that Kang was approaching Scott with a deal.
No, I know. You and I know that 100%.
Well, I'm saying, like, the regular synopsis, like, the official synopsis that came out basically said the same thing.
Well, stop, you don't need to give us that much information. Yeah. That's all I'm saying. Like,
yeah.
Like, why? Like, why don't I add a damn picture of this thing? I don't know, man. Like, I think the CGI also, and the fact that we're going to spend all this time in the quantum verse, or whatever, quantum realm, whatever you want to call it, and it just seems very disconnected. I don't really care about Kang and like how powerful he supposedly is, like whatever. Like here's where I'm at currently with the MCU. If Kang were to win, it would make me happy.
if he
destroyed everything that they did in Phase 4.
I would
be like, sure.
I think he has to in a way win. I don't think he will though, but I think in order for it to feel better, he would. But then you look and you're like, oh man, Kang, Destiny, and Secret Wars are still two and a half years plus out. So oh crap, you know, what are we doing until then?
And the thing is, like, do you have really, like, he doesn't seem like if I'm really thinking about it, based on what I've seen in Phase 4 and things like that, I don't see the threat. I know what the threat is, but if I'm just looking at the scope of films, the proposed Avengers that he's gonna go up against,
you think they got it?
No, I think Kang is a threat because these Avengers aren't very good.
Okay, yeah. I get that. I think what should have happened is instead of it sucks because it seems like it would take forever and that's part of what made Infinity War and Endgame so freaking good, was that it did take forever to get there. But they should have done Kang the way that he's done in the comics, where there are little battles with him and he loses some, wins a few, but it's his losses that cause him to go to, you know, the most extreme depths to you know, attain his goals, and that's like most villains in a comic book go through. I almost would, and you know, we knew Thanos had little battles that he lost because it was his doing, trying to get people to collect the stones for him. But I would have enjoyed, especially since you can use all these variants of Kang, I would have enjoyed Kang showing up in like 8-9 different things, and there'd be little losses, little victories, medium losses, and all leading up to him finally, you know, doing what it takes to do what he wants to do. And there's your Kang Dynasty and your Secret Wars. But they're, you know, Jonathan Majors is a rising star, is making some money, and they can't afford to have him in 8 or 9 video movies, I guess. I don't know, but also I know it's a time thing, and no one's got the patience to let Secret Wars come 10 years from now, where we would have built this huge multiversal thing, and instead of trying to shove 15-16 Secret Wars together with the one from the 80s into a 3-year period. it's scary.
Yeah, so I agree with you, and because you know the our Avengers were battle tested in the sense that they went up against Loki and they had to gel together. Then they each had their they continued to have their own adventures, and they were battle tested again against Ultron. And then finally we got to the point where we got to Thanos. And in between then they had some team ups here and there with, you know, individually and stuff like that. But
had to fight each other.
Yeah. And so it was all there. It's like all this growth and cohesion to and at some point, especially like after like defeating Ultron, you kind of start believing that this team is almost like not invincible, but just capable of anything. Right now,
overcome.
Yeah, right now,
adapt and overcome.
If even if this MCU Ultron would show up, he would beat this. He would kill everyone.
She-Hulk shows up. Ms. Marvel shows up. Moon Knight maybe shows up. What else do we got?
You got Shang-Chi.
Wiccan and Speed, and then of course your grown ups, Shang-Chi.
Unless you're gonna say Strange. The Eternals are gonna show up and
oh yeah, without the Eternals showing up, Ultron. I mean, Doc Strange is gonna do a good job against Ultron. That's true, but yeah. he's off in the dark dimension right now, so you can't really rely on him. And
but like you see what I mean? Yeah. Like I can't. This movie needs to, and again, this is one of those cases where I hope I'm wrong, and I hope this exceeds my expectations. Because to be completely honest with you, I was not on board with the first Ant-Man, because of all the rewrites, because of the director changes, because of the delays when that first came out. I was like, this movie's gonna suck. Like you can't patch something together like this and make it work. Matter of fact, I hated Paul Rudd as an actor at that point.
Come on, man, he was in Clueless.
He's also in I know Role Halloween, Models. Role Models was
oh,
yeah
that too.
Oh
you
yeah
didn't like that one.
Well, I think that's where I got my perception of him. But when I watched it, I was pleasantly surprised. I loved it. It's one of my favorites because it's one of the most relatable ones to me. My daughter feels the same way. She actually was just telling me that because she was just watching it too. She loves them. Not that big of a fan of the second one. Like the second one, like it's not that good. Let's be real.
It's not as good as the first. But
yeah,
it's
but
fun.
The way you said it right now proves to me that it's like a 6.57.
I would watch it over Dark World.
That's saying much. Dark World.
I would probably watch it over Iron Man 2 as well.
You know, I am an Iron Man 2 defender, and I don't know why.
Oh, so am I. I don't think people. It's,
yeah.
I don't think it deserves that much hate. But that's what I'm saying is
Iron Man
2.
Iron Man 2 is lengths better than Iron Man 3.
Yeah, oh God, yes.
Iron Man.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Iron Man 3. Is almost, in my opinion,
a waste of time.
The audacity is the same level as almost She-Hulk. To me,
I want to go that far.
I would.
But yeah, to me, it's a waste of time.
Yeah, as far as a wait, what? Yeah, yeah. I don't know if you got the picture. I said it was you via Slack.
Okay, I'll check.
Anyway, point being. I really want this to. I told you. I really want this to be good because I really like Scott Lang and I hope it is. But they've given me nothing recently that tells me otherwise. Me saying that isn't a hope for it to be bad. It's just based on recent events. Where I'm like you, just worried about it.
You know, I just had a thought looking here at the still frame of this image, and I got it up on the YouTube channel on the YouTube video for everyone. This MODOK thing. There's one thing I could see them potentially doing, and it would make me feel a bit better. What if this helmet where we see this face is more of a screen, because
that's what
know
I was
he
thinking.
Was shrunk down. What if it's more of a screen? And then I could easily take that, because screens do deform, lenses deform and things like that. And you've got, and he's basically a tiny body, or maybe a tiny head and a giant body, mm-hmm. you know, relatively giant. And so this screen just makes his head look bigger. And then of course there's the armored shot, which looks cool. Yeah. I'm down with the armored helmet. If it is a screen, I'm completely okay with that, ladies and gentlemen. I will say that as I'm looking, because when it's moving, it's hard. I didn't get to see it like this. I could just see this really bad looking CGI face.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I was thinking too.
If it's like a screen or there's some sort of lens effect with it, then I can cope. If it's magnifying his face, I can cope. If that's meant to be like his head is that, then I hope it looks better than it did.
I'm with you on that, man.
Guys, that's our thoughts on the Ant-Man trailer. You ready to piss off some people, or Manny brought this up as well.
We were going with Adam Driver.
No. We were going to go with yours first.
Oh, okay, cool. Let's do that then.
Zack Snyder fans want Warner Brothers to sell the rights to the Snyderverse to Netflix. And this has been a big thing on social media. And by big, I mean relatively big. You guys got to remember, even something on Twitter getting 5 million likes or something is a fraction of the US's population, let alone the world's population. 8 billion of us, 5 million means jack. That being said, they're batshit nuts. It'll never freaking happen. And the one thing Warner Brothers will forever hold on to is the movie rights to DC. There's been rumors for years, some of them relatively reliable, that at one point Warner was looking to sell off the DC Comics bit all together, except for the movie rights. They would keep the movie rights. And I'm like, no one's going to buy DC Comics without getting a chance to get a shot at the movies and TV rights. But they're not going to make any money this way. It's not going to happen. You're not going to see this. Why do you guys insist on you're just as delusional as those that think Game Pass can work in and keep games at the same quality and quantity they are without everything becoming a game as a service. That's how batshit crazy you guys are of this happening.
No, I agree. It even for HBO Max, Zack Snyder's Justice League wasn't one of the top wasn't one of the top streaming movies of the year for that year. It didn't work, and there's a reason why they didn't go ahead with it. It bothers me to understand how they continue to think that this would work when it never did, because as perspective is different, of course, for every executive and for every head. But at the end of the day, we have a saying in Spanish, con dinero baila el perro, which means with money, the dog dances. So if these movies brought in the money and the admiration that they were supposed to, nobody was going to cancel them.
Nope.
Nobody was going to... why would you go through all this turmoil because you hate yourself or something? And your point is not to make money. So and then I mean, they tried it. They did the HBO Max thing, they did the 4-hour cut, mm-hmm. and I just don't think that the returns were there that they wanted.
It turns out that everyone that wanted to support it, it seems you guys did support it,
and
it's
that's
not
it.
Enough. It's that's not it. Enough. Yeah. That's the whole point. Is we look like Manny and I say all the time, Twitter especially is a giant bubble. It will surround you with with your like-minded people if you are not actively trying to go against that grain with it. So when you guys feel like there's all of these Snyderverse fans, and there are a lot, but relatively not. When you feel like there's all these Snyderverse fans because your tweet gets, you know, X amount, tens of thousands of likes, retweets, or whatever, millions of interactions, doesn't matter. You guys, if you did, if you went and spent your money at the theater, you guys were the only ones because it didn't appeal to others. It didn't appeal into the general audience.
Right.
And it cost more than it then. Look, most of them were profitable relatively, but it cost more overall to try to keep doing that for lower returns, especially as, you know, we've seen how ticket sales have dropped in the last few years, even before the pandemic. Raw ticket sales down. It doesn't necessarily make economic sense. Some of you guys would have potentially grown out of that phase. Some kids get older and don't stay into it. It didn't seem to make financial sense for a lot of reasons. Okay. Even
WB themselves have made fun of Snyder Bros. At that point, like, don't you get it? and like, they haven't. Man of Steel was great. I've said Jace hated it. He's a big, big Superman fan. I thought it was fine.
Thought it was okay. Hate BVS though. That was garbage.
BVS was. I thought it was good. It has its issues. I could live with it. But then
I have issues. That movie.
You do have issues. Justice League. I mean,
woof.
and I know what people. Then they'll come back. And it's like, that's not the vision that he had and whatever. And but still, like,
some of the worst parts of Justice League were in both. They were Zack Snyder moments. Like, some of them were the whole thing where they're like, we've got people disappearing. I hated this so much. We've got people disappearing from Gotham and people disappearing from Metropolis, and we have no idea where they're going. The freaking brilliant Commissioner Gordon police guy, right? And it's like Batman. Oh, they're there in that middle island place thing that we've got. Oh my goodness, yeah, exactly. Okay, everyone, let's go to that place. And then and this is in both versions. Then literally, they are driving or not driving, floating, flying, driving, whatever the frick the vehicle does. They get to the place. He hops out and he goes, Alfred, where are we? Well, you're in the freaking place you just said you were going. Like, yeah, holy crap.
Yeah, but like, you know, exactly where he's like, that's a really dumb thing to be mad about.
Both versions, he had a chance to fix it and he didn't.
It's not this bad. I thought you were actually gonna say something that mattered.
That's an example of a bad thing that was in both.
So there's a lot of good stuff in Justice League in Zack Snyder's version.
Yeah,
Darkseid was done really well, I thought. Steppenwolf was way better. But like, if you would have not given me the worst Steppenwolf, would I had liked the best, you know, the second one step? And so the question becomes, if you didn't see the Whedon trashed duct tape version, how, like, is Zack Snyder's that much better?
Some people think.
Because what happens is that then at that point you set the bar very low, and you can only go up, and so does it, is it better? Yeah, but how much really better? And obviously it wasn't that much better because it like Mortal Kombat that year was the best film, for HBO Max, and there was a couple more that actually ended up
being better than
Zack Snyder. So like, yeah, the only 200%, I'd say, actually, I'll give you three. Three home runs. One of them just barely cleared the fence. I'm going to go with Wonder Woman 1. I'm going to go with Shazam. Mm-hmm. And the one that barely cleared the fence or even hit the power pole, but still a home run, Aquaman. Okay. I'm going to give you those. I'm going to give you those three. A strikeout with Wonder Woman 2.
Yeah.
And
Justice League is a mess.
Justice League. Yeah.
Suicide Squad, you guys edited it into hell.
Suicide Squad. Yeah, that.
Do the Guardians thing. No, don't do the Guardians thing. Do your own thing.
Let the trailer people cut the movie. No, they cut trailers.
Yeah.
So I mean, did you have a good talented pool of actors for these roles? Absolutely. You did. And they wasted it all. And is it their fault?
Yes. It's an Oscar-winning movie, Manny.
Well, that's actually the irony of it all is that you may think of what you want about DC films, but as far as I know, they have three Oscars now. So
Marvel's got two or three.
Marvel's got two Oscars, and that's for Black Panther.
Yeah.
They're not for actual acting. And the irony also.
Well, neither was the Suicide of them, Squad's
yeah, but
award.
We have
Suicide Squad's every, award was makeup two, and effects, and their makeup and effects were.
Two out of three of our Jokers have got Oscars. So, okay, there's that.
Real original guys.
but we're doing something though. It counts to the Academy.
Although I will say this, Black Panther's Oscar for costumes and production, 100%. This movie deserved. when they were talking about what nominations, I was like, yeah, Best Picture, no. Best Actor, I like it, but no. I was like, a lot of these costumes, productions, and set design, music, all of that. I was like, hell yes, like that is all over the place here.
100%.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. So, point. Just they have even like so. Even if some of it worked, point is WB has new bosses, and if they want to wipe the slate clean and start over. Especially because now you need to put something cohesive to go forward they're very ambitious. They want to wait 8 to 10 years. They're already writing TV shows, they're making movies, they're already talking about all that. They're trying to put Ben Affleck in the director's role, and everything. They're gonna do it because it makes like you can't just say these are the movies we have for the years to investors, especially after that massive cleanup that they did. You need to have a plan and you need to be able to stick to it. And so they've been fairly careful about it. I thought Gunn and Saffron were a safe choice because Gunn knows the comics. Saffron knows universes business. The business. He's, you can say what you want about The Nun. The Nun was, I thought The Nun was terrible. But it's one of the highest grossing films. Why? Because it's part of that damn franchise.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, two out of three of the Annabelles are like, eh. But still, they're part of that franchise. So they make money because now, like, The Nun 2 comes out in September. And I'm going to watch it, well, because I watch everything. But because it's part of the Conjuring universe, and if there's more story to it, I want to know.
You're there for it.
So you got some of the right people working on it. The WB yesterday just announced that they signed Greg Berlanti, which doesn't mean he's doing DC, but he's the one really behind all of the Arrowverse stuff.
Yeah. And he was one of the ones people wanted to take over and be in the James Gunn
side. And I would have been okay with it. So he knows the TV side of what works because as bad as it kind of got at the end, but because, I mean, also there wasn't that much support anymore because everything was on fire. They kept Well, the thing is that they were like very calmly working in their rooms. And there was smoke coming under the door. So they made a phone call. I was like, hey, what's going on? And they're like, don't worry about it. It's fine.
Just keep writing.
Yeah. They went, oh, okay. So, If in fact he's going to continue and take a new slate over of DC stuff, either for HBO Max or whatever, 100% on board. Because while was it all great? No, but it worked and you created a cohesive universe of Earth, whatever you want to call it, and you gave us Arrow, Flash, Black Lightning, Legends of Tomorrow, Stargirl was more of a former boss of DC, Hamada, his name escapes me right now.
Johns,
thank you, Jeff Johns. Am I forgetting anyone? Whatever. Point is, they did all Supergirl. That's the one I'm probably missing. They created a cohesive uniform. They were able to do events every year where they crossed over. Oh, Batwoman. There's another one. So they were even able to do a crisis event. That kind of made sense. They put Brandon Routh back in a Superman suit, like everybody wanted. They put Kevin Conroy in a bat suit. It was Kingdom Come, but whatever, it worked. Yeah, that's the right guy. So okay, point being, back to this. So they've assembled all the kind of, you'd think that the right people. We still have to see if it works. But
yeah.
So why would you want the baggage from the stuff that didn't work?
Yeah.
So that's the point. And it's like, sorry it didn't work, Snyder Bros, but if you guys really want to support Snyder, he's got a movie called Rebel Moon coming out on Netflix that you guys can go support. You can start a new movement on how Zack Snyder should take over Star Wars because of how good this was. There.
please no. I'm fine with that. I guess that's a good segue, Star Wars, to a rumor from a source that we do not necessarily trust. It's a Grace Randolph rumor. This is one of those situations where we're discussing the more the entertainment level of the rumor than the likelihood of the rumor itself. This is just one of those would be fun what ifs. But what if Adam Driver was going to be Mr. Fantastic? Grace Randolph Jeff Snyder actually on a podcast actually said that he had heard a rumor about Driver in line for Mr. Fantastic, but the thing was unproven. But he said it does smell good to him, the rumor. Randolph said that he's a front runner for a certain stretchy role. I will say this, though, before Manny and I discuss it. Cam Clark, which you guys know does most of our Barside Buzz rumor-related articles on LRMonline.com, he said this one also kind of has that feel that it might be true. I know a lot of people would have liked to have seen him as Doom. I think he could have potentially been a decent Doom. But I don't know, because now you're gonna have everyone like Mike said in our Slack, everyone, all the Raylo fans saying, well, if you put Driver as Mr. Fantastic, you better put Ridley as Sue Storm. I don't know, Manny. What do you think? Snyder heard something early, and then Grace has got her word in. What do you think?
Nah, man, get the hell out of here with that, man. I do not want this at all. Absolutely not. I think so. I've seen Adam Driver in some fantastic movies as of late.
Mm-hmm.
And
nice word choice there. Some fantastic movies.
Ah, shoot. I didn't mean to do that. God damn it. And so, like, the last thing I want to do is to see him as Reed Richards. Like, he would look so goofy and just out of place. Like, if you're talking about bad casting, like, that's what I mean. Like, he just recently did White Noise, which was kind of weird, but I enjoyed it anyway. House of Gucci, The Last Duel. There's a movie I'm trying to find that look up that I thought he was just really good, where he was like a missionary. It's with Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. That's a while ago, I think it was.
I'm not gonna lie, he is a wide dude, and or broad dude, however you want to phrase it. He's got a broad wide face, he's got broad wide shoulders.
Guess, yeah, so
and that's not quite what you think of or see, nor, like you pointed out, what you could imagine would look really good, elongated and stretched out. Mr. Fantastic's always been a still muscular, still cut. Of course, when drawn in comics, that's how all guys are. And sure, guys never had unrealistic body image issues growing up, looking at all the wrestlers and the freaking comic book heroes and Arnold and Sly. But anyways, I digress. You don't see him as a broad guy. You see him as a slender guy, yeah, a thin guy, a beanpole, if you will, because that helps with the stretchiness. So yeah, I could see that being a potential thing.
Like I don't know. Like it would just seem out of character for him to do a role like that.
What about Doom though? What if it's a
I can see it, slightly I can see him on doing
the right trail. You know,
I can. Excuse me.
Bless you.
Yeah, I can see him. I can see him as Doom. I can see him more as of a villain. Again, like the problem with that is I've seen how Marvel treats villains, and they wasted Christian Bale, for example.
They did. And I mean, so, they didn't waste Loki. They didn't waste.
They wasted Thanos. Ultron also.
They kind of wasted Ultron. They did a good job with both Killmonger and Claw, but they've offed them both, and it's very sad because I think both of them would have been better on Thunderbolts, or at least having Killmonger out there seems like a much better idea.
The problem with that though is that you're never going to be able to afford Michael B. Jordan. That guy continues to rise, whether it's with Killmonger, started with Fruitvale Station, and now he's directing and still doing Creed.
I remember so him just, from a little movie called Chronicle, and I was like, man,
yeah,
that kid's a cool actor, man. He's doing good stuff. Hope to see him in some future things. The other guy from Chronicle, the one that goes psycho, he ends up being Green Goblin years later in Amazing Spider-Man. And I was like, yeah, I don't need to ever see him again.
I mean, he kind of became Green Goblin. He was just kind of weird.
Yeah.
Dude, like, I don't know. Like, at this point, I don't really care who they cast as Mr. Fantastic. Just give me somebody. I know, whatever. Just cast The Rock if you want. I don't know.
You know who my pick is for Johnny Storm though, but they won't do it.
Who?
The guy that played Billy in Netflix. Darkay. I don't know how to pronounce
Billy
his name.
Billy on Netflix.
Billy on Stranger Things on
Netflix.
Oh,
okay.
That guy.
The Red Ranger.
His last name is Montgomery. Yes.
The Red Ranger.
D-A-R-C-E or something like that. Or D-A-C-R-E. Montgomery. Him. Yep. That's who I would pick as I would cat. Look, if it's someone that is basically under the age of say 35, I want to cast him. I think he's pretty damn talented. He's got a one of those faces that can morph into a bunch of different type of hero and villain characters. I would cast him. He's played a hero. He's played a villain, and I think he'd do a good Johnny Storm. I think he could potentially pull off a Mr. Fantastic, but I think he would be a great Johnny Storm.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, I thought he was a good Red Ranger too, man.
Yes.
So you know what's crazy about that film is that they had
is the how cast, good it was.
The casting was great. They just made some really like small things, like because Power Rangers can't be anyway.
Yes.
If it's funny because David Yost said the same thing, is if they would have just let the Megazord come together.
Yeah.
The way you're supposed to, instead of making it all come already assembled out of a hole, you maybe change that entire. You maybe change the dynamic of that movie.
Yes.
Also,
and they needed to tone down the Transformer aesthetic of the Zords a bit. In my opinion.
They needed to make them less alien, more relatable to whatever the animal. I mean, who cares? Like, if you do not do the regular animals. And you do, or the dinosaurs, and you do something else, fine. We've seen a variety of things. We've seen cars, spaceships. You know.
Well, I mean, this one did need to be, this one needed to be the Dinozords, but they should have been a little bit more Like,
even
if they were alien, it still it needed to be less Bay Transformers.
Mm-hmm.
That's my issue. Yeah,
100%. Like, I had no problem with Rita Repulsa. Goldar looked stupid. I will say that.
Yes, Goldar was a disappointment. I love the whole opening, dude. Like, oh my God, we're millions of years ago. Mm-hmm. Here's Zordon was the Red Ranger, and oh my God, Rita's the Green Ranger. Like, it's great. And I know some of that's borrowed from alternate story stuff from the source material, but it was just so cool to see it. I was down with it, man. Bill Hader as Alpha. I enjoyed the take on Alpha because I couldn't have handled the nervous wreck that the TV shows Alpha. All of the actors, all of them just killed it, man. I like that movie a lot. I do.
Yeah, no, I agree. And then, like, all the Rangers, I thought they were cast very, very well. I love the guy who played Billy, obviously. Yes. It worked. I thought that even the girl who played, I can't remember her name right now, but the Pink Ranger was better in here than she was in Aladdin.
Naomi something.
Yeah, thank you. Point being, so, I mean... Just don't let Adam Driver do this. Like, and then, like,
not Mr. Fantastic.
If they ended up doing some weird thing where they they made Ridley Sue Storm, I don't know if I can handle that.
I don't know if I can handle that. That's just like freaking bringing what's his name in to be Mr. Fantastic for Doc Strange. It's just too on the nose. Too much Reddit fan casting bull crap. Anyways,
so let's wrap this up by just saying one more awesome thing.
What's
If I wasn't, it's funny because my girlfriend told me this the other night. I had to look it up, and it turns out it was true. Nicolas Cage in an interview just the other day, where they asked him if he would take Star Wars role, and my dude, said no, he would not. The reason why he said no. Is because he's a nerd. Trekkie, and I was like, "Don't let being a Trekkie stop you from getting your bank, man, getting your coin." It doesn't matter if you hate Star Wars; you take that job. But he has a lot more pride than that, and it's very exciting to see and that to know that Nicolas Cage is a fellow Trekkie.
Is a Trekkie, my man. Nah. Nerds. Anyways, we're all geeks, nerds, and fans of pop culture here, you guys. Thank you for listening to the show. Please do follow us on your favorite podcast app. Like us, give us thumbs ups, downs, whatever it takes to get interaction. Because even when we're getting hate clicks, that's still interaction. It still feeds the algorithm. Go for it. Subscribe on the YouTube channel. We have all of the podcasts that you get on the your favorite podcast apps. And in addition to that, we have anime reactions, trailer reactions, as long as they are released at a decent hour. Marvel, ABC, and then of course check out the website lrmonline.com every day for all entertainment news needs, opinions, written reviews, celebrity interviews that go up on the LRM YouTube channel, and more. Any other final last words, Manny?
If you're in California, take care of yourself. If you don't need to go out, do not, especially if there is a storm warning. It's not worth it. It's only a day or two. But remember, you prayed for rain for years. This is 3 days of rain. It's not, it's just, it's funny. It's not funny at the same time. Just take care of
Dark
yourselves.
Dark humor's great.
Take care of yourselves. Safe. Be safe. Watch your local news because they're going to get you all caught up.
All right, guys. We'll take to you later. Talk to you later. Bye.
3 days of rain. Credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.